for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
And welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I am your host, Nia, and I am a clinical hypnotherapist, graphologist, and a family constellation facilitator here at Illuminations. And I am back with another episode, with another topic, with another speaker. I absolutely love hosting this podcast in general, because the amount of knowledge that you are receiving just by listening to each episode, it's absolutely phenomenal. Because every time you listen to a piece of information, you are reflecting, you are dissecting, you're integrating it all to yourself. And that in itself is healing. So if we're talking about healing and well-being, back in the day, it was the doctor. And then perhaps it slowly transitioned into the mental health, where you would go to a psychologist. But I believe that even till date, a lot of people don't know who to go to, where do you find a solution, who's the right person to consult. And maybe it could be because of the lack of information that people have. And I really want to address this today, and hence why the topic of today is the power of neuroscience for spiritual healing and well-being. And today we will be addressing how can we heal in different ways? What are the issues we can resolve? And is it limited to just the medical industry, or what other limitations are there? And many other things that come along with it. So to talk about this particular topic, I have a very special guest with me today. And this is Dr. Sodhi. Dr. Sodhi is a medical, or was a medical doctor, and now he is a clinical hypnotherapist. He's been doing this for the past 17 years. So guys, we have a full-blown library right now. And I can't wait to just pick your brains. And to tell a little bit more about Dr. Sodhi, he will be introducing NeuroSoothe. So NeuroSoothe is a unique signature modality for medical hypnosis, NeuroSoothe, and as it is a groundbreaking signature modality designed to enhance effectiveness of medical hypnosis by incorporating innovative techniques and principles from neuroscience, mindfulness, and therapeutic approaches. So I feel like your unique selling point is the fact that you have access to both worlds. So you have the medical field, and now you have the spiritual side of things. And when you combine them both, you have this healing power, I would say, that for lack of a better word. So let's just introduce you to the show right now. So thank you so much, Dr. Sodhi, for joining me today and taking time off to just spread the knowledge.
Thank you, Nia. Thank you for having me here.
So, Dr. Sodhi, I really want to learn about your story. So it's not every day you come across a medical doctor who, out of choice, chose to leave the medical industry and follow a different path, a different kind of help, a different way of helping other people. So tell us a little bit about your story. How did you get here? And
You know, Nia, it all started when I joined my medical college. I joined a medical college in Chennai at Ramit College. That was way back in 1976. And being a fresher, there was a very senior doctor there, an intern, who had learned hypnosis. And he wanted people to practice on. you know, when you start, you need people to practice up. And he would come into our room and he would say, okay, guys, I'm going to hypnotize you. And we being freshers, we had no voice, no say. You know, you do whatever you want, we are there for you. My roommate was an African student, a Nigerian student, who would get hypnotized like that.
Yeah.
So whenever this resident or the intern had the time, he would come and practice in us. And in one of the sessions, he made this guy lie down on three stools, you know, like this. One stool below his head, one below his bottoms, one below his feet. And he said, your body is as stiff as an iron rod. And he removed this stool from the center. And here was this African guy, you know, very bulky and muscular, resting on just two stools, one below his head and one below his ankles. I was so stunned watching it. I pressed him in the abdomen, you know, and he was really stiff. And I said, this is amazing. I mean, you can make a person believe he's something which he's not. And so maybe you can make a person believe he's not something which he is.
Mm.
You know, so that was my interest. And that was the seeding. Of course, then years went by. I got into the medical profession and I don't just remember where time went.
Yeah.
Till finally I reached a stage where I said, now I got to learn hypnosis, hypnotherapy. I joined ECA and did my courses there. But this transition for me to leave my medical profession completely and go into this healing modality, I didn't have the, frankly, I didn't have the guts to do it like that, you know. I loved the medical profession. I still love it.
Yeah.
And so for me to move, it was a very gradual. It took me about 10, 12, 15 years. I was doing things together, partly this, yeah, partly that, and gradually reducing my time in medical practice. Till recently, I said, enough. Now is the time for me to go into what I really love.
Oh, wow.
I've done my job. That's how I am.
Wow, that's quite a story. And I'm also curious to know, what did your colleagues think as you're doing? Like, I mean, because I imagine the medical industry is quite like, science and data and blah 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 blah.
Yes.
How many conversations with your colleagues go like after you learned the science? What was that?
Initially, a lot of them were very skeptical. You know, they just don't believe in it, because I don't blame them, because science says you got to have a study, you got to have your research, and you got to build up data. You got to build up a process which can be duplicated by anybody,
mm-hmm,
to get the same result.
Yeah.
So that gets established. Our phase, we can't have a standard protocol for anything, because the mind is different for every individual.
Yeah.
So, but now, gradually over the years, I think the medical profession is showing a little shift.
Mm.
They are able to accept it, because there are certain areas where maybe they're not able to do much.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, you can go ahead and try this. Or there is growing evidence now that this is working.
Right.
So I think now they are more accepting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure down the years, it will become a standard protocol of this. They are going to use it.
And that's very promising to hear. So tell me, Dr. Sobhi, where does neuroscience come into all of this? Where does neurosoothe come into all of this?
A neurosoothe is a combination of all that I have learned.
Right.
And neurosoothe is taking in at that moment what I feel will work with the client. You know, the whole idea is to help him heal, to guide him heal. And NeuroSoup comes in there. So it's a combination of mindfulness, meditation, this combination of neuroplasticity, it's a combination of hypnotherapy, it's a combination of regression therapy, timeline therapy, and it'll be, you know, little bits and pieces of whatever works at that moment, at that time. The aim is to help him out.
Right.
Of late, there's been a lot of change in the field of neurology. The way it's grown,
okay,
is tremendous.
In what ways?
Study of the brain. You know, a simple basic shift. When I was studying medicine, it was taught that the number of neurons a person is born with, the brain cells, is fixed.
Mm.
You know, all other cells grow, die, and it's a continuous process. For example, if you have a bath and use the towel, there are thousands of skin cells which you shed by just wiping yourself dry. Mm. So what happens when thousands are shed, thousands are regenerated?
Yeah.
The life of, say, a red blood cell is 120 days.
Mm.
Then a new one comes, it's displaced. So the body has got a fantastic mechanism of keeping track. What's old, what's to be knocked off, what's to be replaced with, and things like that. But it was believed that the nerve cells are fixed. You're born with a particular number of nerve cells, you die with that same number or less because they keep degenerating.
Yeah.
Of late, in the sense, in the last maybe 20, 30 years, there's been a shift in that. And they say that the nerve cells too can grow. And thanks to investigative procedures like the functional MRI, where you can see, you know, how the nerve cells conduct the signals and how the change takes place.
So what does that mean for people who are trying to heal? What does this mean? The fact that it grows, what does that mean? What does that indicate?
It means that there is nothing like an end. In the sense that if a person is given a label that this is a terminal situation, it need not be that.
Mm.
You can always build a new neural pathway. And you can strengthen that new neural pathway.
So what does that mean? So when you mentioned, so if you have a terminal illness,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Does that mean even if the cure is not found,
yes,
that
we may not find cures for everything. And that's, in a sense, I feel it's good, because otherwise then we start being we are gods. But we can definitely help heal any person. You know, there was a case of esophageal cancer, which I was dealing with. It was a terminal stage, and he had been given up. You know, he was just a few days to live. And when I worked with him, of course, he died. But then he died in a very settled, peaceful manner.
Mm-hmm.
So the healing is there. And in some cases, of course, cure is there.
So you brought a very interesting point, which is when you really think about it, the reason why we take medication, go to a doctor, is to keep ourselves alive.
Yes.
But with the story that you just shared, it just shows the beauty in dying peacefully, and death is not really a thing that needs to be looked down on, or you shouldn't be afraid of dying.
Yes.
But the cure in itself can also be a peaceful death, and not relieving yourself of the terminal illness.
That's right.
That's a very tough pill.
That's
for a lot of people to swallow.
We are mortals, Sneha. We can't live forever. So we got to face that.
So how would you define healing?
Healing is a process, I think, which by which a person is very comfortable in a situation.
And they're comfortable in the situation.
Yeah. He's not troubled by things. And that's where I feel that, you know, things like mindfulness are just so beautiful.
So you mentioned to me earlier that you were now going to start training mindfulness, right?
Yes.
Why is mindfulness important? Why is this a key, one of the pillars of?
Yes. Firstly, mindfulness is very much researched. And they have found concrete evidence, scientific evidence that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does it work? By being mindful, it is like being in awareness at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
How can I keep myself aware at this moment?
I have
his thoughts, right, going all over the place. So it helps if I am curious about this moment. And it also helps if I'm non-judgmental of this moment.
Yeah.
So if I'm aware of this moment, then I am not into the past, I'm not into the future. So everything that is emotionally upsetting me from the past is not there. Everything that can trouble me from the future, my anxieties are not there.
Mm-hmm.
Now in this state that I'm in, I am sending signals to my brain that this is the state. And my brain is creating neural pathways of this signal. And in this state, the choice that I make, the brain takes it that this is the choice for me to work on and keeps strengthening this neural pathway. Therefore, the signals go into the old neural pathways, which are plenty, which the brain maintains.
Mm-hmm.
Say there may be a neural pathway about a particular fight I have with somebody, and you know the emotion is coming from there. The signals, those are not so activated now.
So does that mean, let's say you strengthen a neural pathway, right?
Yes.
Does that mean you, let's say the other one is not as strong as the current one, does that mean that you won't ever go back to how things were? Does it disappear or does it?
It does not disappear. The connections remain, but they are not effective.
Mm.
Because the new neural pathway is the one that takes in the energy, the flow into that direction.
So are you saying what mindfulness brings to you is the ability to have choice in situations?
Yes. And we feel so good when we have choices.
And this is what happened. This is what we don't have. Our past or future.
Yes.
So the work I do is finding ways to bring people to.
Yes. Okay. You see, if you were to, for example, draw a circle and say that's your brain, and at the end of the day, put red dots on all the negative self-talk or the things that occupied you that day, and put blue dots on all the good things that you thought and were occupied in that day, you will definitely find that the red dots far outnumber the blue dots. So imagine your brain has been going through the neural pathways of the red dots. And every time you had thoughts of them, it only strengthened that.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the chance of these neural pathways which bring you happiness, joy, peace, and comfort? They don't stand much chance unless you become aware of it. I tell you a case that I worked on during my therapies. Me and a colleague of mine, we would go to a maternity hospital and work on infertility cases.
Right.
You know, where everything is normal and they're not able to produce a baby.
Mm.
Now, I found this very odd because nature wants us to propagate our species.
Mm.
So why isn't that? A couple can't get, the lady can't get pregnant. And every investigation done, they're normal. The husband is normal, the wife is normal. So we had taken up this little project of working on sex cases.
Yeah.
And I would work with the husband and my colleague would work with the wife. Yeah. So that is how, and we would work together at the same time. Each session would be about 2 hours, 2 hours. She in one chamber, me in the other, and we were working there. So we had a very interesting case where there was one, when I worked with the husband, during the therapy, I found out that they had had a child first who was in the ninth month, died in the ninth month of pregnancy and was stillborn after that. And then when we connected to find out why that kid had died, you know, therapeutically, yeah, energetically,
yeah,
at his energy level,
yeah,
the answer I got was that the child was and didn't want to be a burden on the parents.
This is something that you picked up.
Yes.
During the session.
During the session. Okay.
And this is done with the
therapy. Yes. So, fine. I finished the session with him. And then we compare notes.
Yes.
So I was comparing the note with my colleague. And she, at the same time, I'm getting goosebumps. She at the same time had asked this lady, okay, why did this, what was the meaning, what was the purpose of this child not being born? And the mother said, the mother to me had said that this child was going to be born with a mental disability and did not want to be a burden on us.
Oh my God.
I was so amazed. We worked on that incidentally. She got pregnant later. And
so let's dissect this for me. So through hypnotherapy, you get this piece of information.
Yes. Yes.
What does that do to the clients? What does that do to the husband? What does that do to the wife? They have this piece of information.
Yes.
And they probably don't know if it's right or wrong, but they just have this information.
Yes.
What does that do to them, and how did that lead to them having a kid?
Yes. You see, what happens, Nia, like for example, in this case, both the husband and wife had said that this child is the firstborn. We treat you as a firstborn. I mean, they were so shocked by the death of the child, by the fetus. Mm-hmm. So for them to come over, it was taking time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had made this commitment to that departed child that you are a firstborn. We would consider you like that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they were not able to create the space for the second run.
What does that mean? What does that mean, create space?
Energetically, they were still linking to the first kid.
Mm.
And therefore, there was no place for another pregnancy to take place.
So is this because they were still grieving that loss that they couldn't move forward? Would that be a reason?
Grief, guilt.
Mm.
They were blaming themselves. And once they found out that it is not their fault, it was the design of that soul which chose to abort.
And that could help them with the,
exactly,
the healing.
Exactly.
So that helped them create that space,
yes,
to move forward.
Yes. And energetically, it created a space in the uterus of that lady to accept her.
Could you explain to us this whole concept of energy and how that's linked to the body and why it plays a significant role?
We've always known energy systems since years. Our chakras,
mm-hmm,
I mean, we are pioneers. We know so much, the Chinese medicine system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, energy is there.
Yeah.
It was only that it could not be assessed. It could not be, you know, there's no proof.
And is that the reason why it's not integrated into the medical?
Into the medical sheet. But we can't deny it because it's there. Mm-hmm. And of course, in areas like quantum physics, when they deal with energy, there is now proof there that if you perform an action here, there may be a consequence across the universe somewhere as a consequence of that. So, I mean, things did improve. For example, they did an experiment on, they removed a swab from a throat of a person and kept it here, and they were analyzing the cells, and they made the person sit next to it, and they said, be happy, you know, be with your happy memories. And they found that the DNA had expanded in that.
Just because
in the tissue, because he was sitting here and feeling happy. And when he felt, they told him, okay, now think of a traumatic event, it would work out. Now, they asked him to wait outside the room and be happy there. And they found this change in here. Then they took him to another city. And when he was happy there, the change was happening here.
So does that mean if you're feeling happy, or let's say if you're feeling upset, that is in some way triggering me to be upset?
Yes. And the reverse is true. Happy, you feel them, the energy.
So how much of the emotions that we're feeling on a day-to-day basis actually ours? And how do we know them?
Oh, we carry a lot of other people's emotions, right? You come into a room, and if somebody's angry with you, you feel it, right? If somebody's angry with someone else, you still feel it. We carry on those emotions.
So this is where mindfulness.
Yes. Okay. Mindfulness tells you the past, the future, to be now. And yeah, I'll just tell you what anybody can do for just 1 minute a day to keep you, you know, in a good state. It has 2-3 steps. The first is just spend 1 minute a day. And what do you do in that 1 minute? In that 1 minute, you become aware first of anything. For example, with this mark. I become aware of this mark. And when I become aware of this mark, I see that what it is, it's got water. How did it come here? It came through some transport, made somewhere. There are some people who made it. You know, it's traveled a long way to come here. So this is to become aware of it. And then I breathe in. Let this awareness be inside me. Now, this is called awe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get myself to be in awe of something. And when I'm in awe of something, it need not be even an object there. It can be an imaginary or a real experience which I had, which breathtaking or something like that. So I'm with that. I'm in awe with that. I feel what it's doing to me. I feel that joy gets in the happiness inside me. And then I breathe in and retain it. I just need to do this for a minute.
And what does that do?
This helps you to energetically remain there, and it helps you to build up a system by which you will be more in awe of other things. It's not easy to meditate. It takes time. This is just happening.
Wow. So before we end this episode, Dr. Sylvie, any last words for our listeners, and how can it be found?
I'm available at Illuminations at Abu Dhabi. That's where they can find me. And of course, there's the first meeting, there's a consultation, which is free.
Yeah. Amen.
So, like I believe that anybody can come in and they have nothing to lose except get this started.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dr. Sylvie. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in every time to listen, to learn, to grow. So we will catch you again for another episode, another speaker, another time. Until then, take care and live.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.